Weeds grew where once feet had kept the walk packed and clear. The windows were boarded up. Packing cases were stacked outside, as if the buildings were now being used as a warehouse. I walked around the entire structure, looking for the cross, but it was gone. And then, as I rounded the church for the second time, I saw the little sight that I never forgot. For there, tucked into the lock on the front door of the church, was a little bouquet of fresh yellow flowers. Stepping closer, I saw that hundreds of withered flowers lay on the ground, as if these bouquets were changed regularly. In my mind's eye I could see a peasant woman, dressed in black, slipping up to the church late at night with her act of love and remembrance. That Sunday I had made my way to the only Protestant church in all of Moscow that was still open. From what I had read in the Dutch press, I was expecting a small and demoralized congregation. At first I wasn't sure I had the right address. Why was that long line of people waiting outside? I took my place uncertainly at the end of it, when suddenly a man came up and spoke to me in German. "You've come to church?" he asked. "This is a church, then?" "Of course. Come with me. There's a special balcony reserved for foreign visitors." So we went through a small door, down a hall, up a flight of steel stairs and out onto the balcony. And there I saw, for the first time, the sight with which I was to become so familiar in future years, the Moscow Protestant Church at worship. The hall was rectangular in shape, narrow and long, with two sets of balconies on each side, a platform seating 12 in the front, a fine organ and a stained glass window facing east and bearing words that my friend translated as "God is love." The seating capacity of the church was about 1,000, and there were closer to 2,000 there that morning. I had never in all of my travels seen so many people crowded into one building. Every seat was taken. The aisles were packed with standees, down the centre and down both sides. The balconies were overflowing. Then the singing began. 2,000 deep Slavic voices in perfect unison. They drowned out the organ. Rich, throaty, full, lusty, masculine. I closed my eyes, and it was easy to imagine that I was hearing heavenly choirs. On and on they sang until there were tears in my eyes. When the time came for the collection, there was no way for the ushers to pass among so many, and so the banknotes were passed along hand over head to the front. As soon as the collection was taken, the sermons began. Yes, sermons. There were two of them, each standard length, one following the other. While the sermons were being delivered, it seemed to me that some of the congregation was acting very strangely. They were making paper airplanes and sailing them forward from the rear of the church and down from the balconies over the heads of the congregation below.